Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. And we were just discussing if we had showered today, not together, but...
I mean, we could together. That could be a thing.
But we were saying, if I showered yesterday, right. I don't have to shower today.
I don't see why.
I am the lizard woman in the winter.
Yeah.
My skin gets so dry.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to shower every day. But I am losing track.
So my face gets very flaky. I've talked to you about like, what can I put on my face? Because it gets so dry in the wintertime. Yeah. And I'm like you, I don't like showering so much because I get so dry, even with moisturizer, that it almost hurts. My skin
yes.
almost hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I said to my husband, honey, could you tell me if I start to smell a little funky?
That's love.
So we're going to do two letters today, listeners, and also Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Yay. Let's hope for peace and tranquility. That's what yes. I wish for you, listeners, this whole new year.
Yes. All right. I'll read the first letter because it's shorter, Joss.
Okay. All right.
Hello, ladies. I love your podcast, and I listened to several last night to calm myself down, but I'm still annoyed. And it's Christmas Eve, so I should be peaceful. And just so you know, I'm 77, so it's galling to be asking two ladies who could be my daughters for advice. You know, just an aside here, after yes. a certain point, age doesn't matter anymore.
It really doesn't. My parents have been semi-routinely in these last 6 months coming to me for advice. Mm-hmm. I think they recognize that I'm smarter than them. I've had more therapy. I'm just smarter. I just know things. So they've been coming to me and they're 86. So
77-year-old, don't even worry.
Yeah.
About it. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the letter. It started with a group chat. Two women whom I supervised and trained before I retired 14 years ago messaged me and two other women who are part of my team, thanking us for all we taught them and planning a lunch where we could unite and reminisce about how wonderful we all were. Ugh. My introverted nature recoiled. They wanted to meet either miles away at one of their homes or downtown. It's in a crowded city. One of the invitees was someone I considered a good friend. She and I were the mamas of the group of about 80 employees. This woman, Perfecta, was the only one of the group I would have wanted to see. She lives in another city about 3 hours away. They wanted to meet the day before New Year's Eve in the middle of yet another COVID surge in a crowded restaurant at the most busy time of year in our large city. Usually when someone says they can't make it, people understand. I'm old. I hate driving. COVID is still an issue for me and my octogenarian husband. I haven't seen these people in 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to decline gracefully. Suddenly, it was like the movie Mean Girls. No one would take no for an answer. When it became clear that I couldn't make it, they all continued planning as though I wasn't there. The message was that I was being unreasonable. I finally left the chat. The woman who started this idea went from thanking me for all I'd taught her to judging me for not wanting to join them. It's so stupid. I can't believe I'm letting this ruin my Christmas. And the worst part of it is that Perfecta schooled me on why it's good to get out and see people and not be isolated. And she said nothing to this other woman who was really being rude and dismissive of me. I was so irritated that I went to a crowded party and didn't mask up, so I'll probably get COVID anyway. What happened to accepting a polite no? And why do I care? Signed, too old for this shit.
Oh, I get it, honey. I'm too old for that, too. Mm-hmm. I've been right in your same position, like super annoyed. I told you no. I don't understand why this conversation is still going on. I declined an invitation, right? Right.
I agree. I don't understand why it was a big deal. I mean, they're asking a lot at a very busy time of year.
Yeah.
And it has been 14 years, you know,
yeah.
how close are you all?
Right.
So I think you did nothing wrong. I think you should have left the group chat a bit earlier.
Yes.
And said, oh, so sorry, I won't be able to make it. I'll leave the chat. You gals keep on planning.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, so exactly.
I'm not sure if you expected them to not talk about it on the loop.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joss?
I think that it's very flattering. They really wanted you there. You must have meant so much to them. And Perfecta, I guess, said so, or some other women who are part of your team said so. They really wanted to see you. I think that's incredibly flattering. I think you are well within your rights to say no. It has been 14 years after all. And you are definitely well within your rights to say no. And you say you did try to decline gracefully. I agree with Kristen. At that point, you should have been like, have fun planning without me, and exited yourself from that chat. The unfortunate mistake was that you kind of heard everything they were saying because you were part of the group chat. And you didn't need to hear all of that. And it sounds like they were being mean girls, but it also, it's sort of edged with a disappointment. They wanted to see this person who meant so much to them. So there was some disappointment there. It sounds like, even though they were handling it in a really bad way. I don't say all of this to say you're wrong, just to give an explanation that's a bit kinder that might help you not be so angry about this now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So because it seems like you're like letting it ruin your Christmas. And you were kind of irritated that you didn't want to go. Oh, but you did go to the crowded party.
So not that party, just a crowded party.
A crowded party. So I probably got COVID anyway. Why do you care? That is the question. Why
do you know what I think? I think it's because you were the mama of the group. And they pushed back.
Yeah.
They pushed back and had opinions that were different and, you know, in fact, rude, I think. And so you care because you taught them better than that in a way.
Yeah. You know?
And you expected more from them. What I would do, too old for this shit. And by the way, when Joss and I first read the letter, we're like, oh, we're also too old for this.
For a lot of shit. Oh, God. You've no idea how old. So much stuff I am.
Yeah. So what I would do is kill them with kindness and graciousness.
Yes.
And go back to the text or start a new thread and say, ladies, I just wanted to say how flattered I was that you wanted to see me. And I hope you had wonderful holidays. Hope to get together again sometime in the future when my schedule is a little more clear and it's not such a busy time of year. Bye-bye.
And COVID is a legit excuse. So, and you are of an age where you should be much more careful than other people. So that should be legitimately like, oh, if someone says COVID, they should let it go. And the fact that they didn't, I think it's, again, part of their disappointment. They really wanted you there because, as Kristen says, you are the mama. So if you do want to see them again, I get it's been 14 years. And I also understand that these were people that you worked with. And probably after you retired, you never saw or thought about them again. Oftentimes work relationships don't translate into, regular relationships that you might have. So if you want to see them again, you could say what Kristen has said, and add, you know, I understand you might've been disappointed by this. So, you know, maybe we could plan something for outdoors for the summer. I do have to be more careful than most because of COVID. I mean, that would sort of like let up on the mean girl stuff, I guess.
I think too, you say letter writer that, the worst part was Perfecta schooled you.
Yeah.
And why it's good to get out and see other people and not be isolated. Yeah. And frankly, like, how does she know that you're not?
100% true. Right. You know,
that's very judgmental. If Perfecta is a really wonderful friend all the other times, give her a pass.
Yeah.
If this is a real issue, you could say, you know, I just want to say it was a little offensive that you were assuming that you knew what was best for me and I did not.
Yeah.
Rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, and when Susie was being so dismissive and rude of me, you know, I kind of expected you to say something, but
yeah,
only if it's getting in the way of you and Perfecta continuing what has been a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, if that's what you want. I mean, again, there's a lot of time that's passed between seeing these people.
Well, she said she and Perfecta stayed close.
Did she know? And Perfecta, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and if
I'm sorry. She says Perfecta was the only one of the group I would have wanted to see. But you considered her a good friend. So maybe that's all in the past.
If you don't want to see these people anymore, you don't have to reach out to them. Yeah. This is really all about alleviating what your irritation, right? And for me, the best way to do that is to what I did at the top of this episode was, you know, figure out that they really wanted you there. You could feel really flattered by that. And that what they expressed pretty badly was just disappointment. So oftentimes reframing it that way makes it easier for me to kind of put it out of my mind. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So they were being mean girls, but that was their awkward sort of clumsy way of expressing their disappointment that they weren't going to get to see you, someone who was a mama bear to them, who meant so much to them while they were working. And if you do want to see them again, you have the avenue that Kristen mentioned, getting back on the thread and saying the things that Kristen mentioned. Otherwise, you don't really have to do anything.
Right, right. I think for your own irritation to be able to swoop in and be the gracious one and the polite one.
Yeah.
I hope you all had a wonderful time.
Yes.
So sorry I couldn't make it. Maybe we'll get together again in the future and just drop it.
But yeah.
By being lovely, I think your irritation will fade.
Yes. And also have the added benefit of showing them this is how you do graciousness, ladies.
Yes. Right. Exactly. You're once again being an example.
Yes.
And, you know, and if people start like, well, you should have come. You can say, and yet I didn't.
Right. You right.
Bye bye. So I hope that's helpful. And, you know, we should all be too old for this shit, by the way. Like after the age of 12, we should all be too old for this shit. So
I have no idea. And every time I think that, which is often as I get older, all I can think of is that Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover, who was always too old for the nonsense that Mel Gibson was throwing at him.
Yes.
He's definitely too old. And I feel that so much.
Yes, I know. I know. All right. So let us know what happens with that. We would love to hear, because I do think like one well-crafted sentence would make you feel better.
Yeah.
And I hope that it didn't ruin your holiday. I do love hearing back from people. We appreciate when you write in. We don't always follow up on air, but we love hearing from our listeners, if they took our advice, if they didn't,
always want to know what happened. It's like that one more chapter before you go to bed. I just need to know one more. Yeah.
All right, Jess, why don't you take us with the second letter?
I will do it. Dear ladies, I love your podcast so much. I listen with my daughter and we laugh so hard. And then we also discuss. Makes those long drives to hockey games way more fun. My problem is on the small side. I'm part of a 3-person, very tight friend group. We text all day. It's a great joy as we all work in the same field, but one of us has a tendency to make everything circle back to her. Let's call her Bex. Anything you say about herself, Bex can relate to. Sick? She's more sick. Career disappointment? That's just like the time the same thing happened to her. Family issue? Here's how that went down in her fam, and also she fixed it, and you can too. Usually it's just funny, but every once in a while I bring something up that's serious or important to me, and I would really like something more than a single response before we bring it back to her. Today I shared a really pretty crushing work result. Bex's response was, "So sorry," and then the next text was the equivalent of, "I know exactly how that feels." I don't want to directly quote because you never know. We do know, and we get that. And then the third was how it happened to her. I could roll with this more easily, but the problem is that these are two of my very best friends, and the third in the group is probably my actual closest friends, but we have an unspoken rule that we don't text outside the group chat except about logistical issues that don't concern Bex. I see that friend far more in person, and I guess I could save things for our in-person talks, but sometimes you really need your buds right now. The unspoken rule is also that we never discuss Bex, so I would not ask the third friend if she feels this too. That would feel very three-person drama, and I have no interest in creating that. I think Bex means well. I don't think she realized she's doing this at all, and she definitely loves me. She'd be upset to know she was hurting me, and I don't want to not have her. Our group chat would be not a group chat with just me and the other friend. I know Bex had a narcissistic parent, and I think this is just how she relates to people. So here finally is the question. Should I say something, and if so, what and how? I wouldn't text it. That never ends well. And I hardly ever see Bex without our third friend. I used to, but over the years, things have changed more professionally and personally than intentionally. And now I see this third friend more. Or should I let it go? We're all grownups here, and I totally could. I do sometimes see Bex as doing this in larger professional groups, and I think others notice, so maybe it would be a kind thing to do. But people don't usually appreciate that, and that probably wouldn't be my real motive. I want her to know she does this to me. Or maybe I don't. I once read that if someone else's chewing bothers you, you are the problem, not them. And although I still argue with that in my head every time it happens, I do wonder. Maybe I'm just ridiculously sensitive to not feeling heard, but she does this all the time. If she can't bring something back to her, it's something else she knows that someone else she knows that has had this happen, and it was all fine, so I shouldn't worry about it. And that was her reaction to my breast cancer 4 years ago. I'm fine now, so maybe she was right, but I know you'll agree that my response that made me throw my phone across the room was not ideal. I would adore to hear your thoughts. I also adore you and thank you. This podcast is such a simple joy. I definitely want to be anonymous, so call me gritting my teeth in the group chat. And so we will.
All right. I really enjoyed this letter.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I felt that, the love between the friends is very evident. And I love gritting that you are concerned about hurting Bex's feelings by sort of taking her aside and trying to say, hey, you do this and you shouldn't do that.
Right.
So here's my suggestion. It has to be in the moment.
Yeah.
When you are together, when you are saying, oh, this bad work thing happened and Bex jumps in, you can say, I appreciate your empathy, Bex, but I just really need to vent a little bit and get this off my chest and keep the conversation on you in that way.
Yeah.
You thank her for being empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of are saying, I appreciate that, but
yeah,
I need it to be here. And I do think that the reason she does this is because she doesn't want you to feel bad. She wants to give you hope.
Yes.
She doesn't want this to be, a terrible thing in your life. So she's immediately saying, this happened and I have a solution and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I don't, my second cousin's wife had this problem and she did this and it's going to be okay. I do think it comes from a place of love.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a way of dismissing something that's uncomfortable, which in this case is your trouble.
Yeah.
Your illness, your work issues, whatever that may be. And so it does come from a place of love, and yet she's not giving you the space to discuss it.
Yeah.
So if you say that, I appreciate your empathy, but I just need to talk about this for a little while. And I know you want this all to turn out great for me, Bex, but I just kind of have to roll around in this for a minute and, be able to vent to my two best friends.
I think that's perfect. I don't think there's much else to say. What I really enjoyed about this letter is your instincts are so spot on. She is doing this. She's well-intentioned when she's doing this. She's not a horrible person who has to bring everything back to her. I think she is just trying to be as helpful as she knows how, given what's going on around her. And what she knows how to do is to relate it back to someone she knows or herself, and say that they got through it. And so you will too, just like Chris said, she's absolutely trying to give you hope. trying to be there for you. And Kristen's advice is spot on. You have to be right in the moment. So when she does this, you need to interrupt the text and just say, thank you. Exactly as Kristen said, for being empathetic, for being so sympathetic and always there with the hopeful spin on everything. But I really need to sit in this for a little while. I need more time to process it, you might want to say.
I need to process it with you guys.
With you. And you might mention that sometimes the hopeful spin is not helpful, particularly when you have something like as serious as a breast cancer diagnosis. Yeah. You just want people to sit with you while you have that kind of diagnosis, while you're trying to process that for yourself. And oftentimes hearing that someone else did well, so you should do fine. And then what happens with that is if you don't do fine, then all you're hearing is that everyone else is doing well and you're the only one who's not. I have an autoimmune disease and I've heard that so much. This person did this and she's perfectly fine. You should do this or you should do that. And sometimes you understand how well-intentioned that is, it doesn't actually work because it's, you know, those sort of things are specific to you, to your body chemistry, to who you are, to your environment, to so many different, for so many different variables. You just want someone to recognize that this is just about you and to sit there with you while you're trying to figure out what to do next. Yeah. So yeah, I get all of that, but I do think you're going to have to be savvy enough to do this right in the moment. And for me, that's when I forget.
Yes.
That's when I forget what I'm supposed to say and what I'm supposed to do. So maybe have your script ready.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have your script ready.
Mm-hmm.
And just when it happens, you just go, boom, you do it.
I type that into your notes on your phone and refer to it before you walk into the restaurant when you see her.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to address was your very wise decision not to talk about it with your other friend.
I love that so much.
You're so emotionally mature.
It is so wise, so fabulous.
Yes.
Love it.
And you know, there are times when obviously when two friends talk about a third out of concern or, you know, maybe like, oh, I can't believe that gritting my teeth has breast cancer. Like what can we do for her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember how her mother is so horrible. And so, you know, let's like be extra good friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's normal. It's human nature. But when you're complaining about one friend to another, it does create some problems. And you don't know that the third friend, your closer friend, shares any of this.
Right.
So you might be opening backs up to your third friend saying, you know what? I never noticed that. But now that you brought it up, I can't stop seeing it, you know?
Right.
So I don't think that's what you want to happen. When I first started reading your letter, I thought that Bex was just a one-upper.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all had that friend, you know, you mm-hmm. say, you know, I have breast cancer. And she's like, well, I have stage 3 breast cancer. So
yeah.
Or, you know, that happened to you. Well, that's nothing compared to what happened to me.
Yeah.
Your job is hard. Listen to my job. It's harder.
Yeah, right.
And that is a narcissistic tendency
mm-hmm.
that you're essentially the friend is saying, you may think you have troubles, but mine are so much more important. And now we're talking mm-hmm. about me.
Yeah.
And as I read the letter, your love for Bex really shone through. And that's why my advice is what it is. If it was true narcissism or self-centeredness,
mm-hmm.
then I would say she's not really your friend.
Mm.
You're her audience, right?
Yeah.
And you know, she's there to be the important one in the group. But that doesn't sound like the person you described.
No, the love comes through. The three of you have this amazing, it sounds dynamic. And the love and the respect, that's what I'm seeing when you're not like gossiping behind Bex's back. There's just so much respect. And I love that it's all unspoken. So that means that you didn't even have to talk to this third friend. You guys are just on the same page. You guys are good friends.
Yeah.
You're really good friends. I love that.
Very emotionally mature. And
yeah.
And I really do think that it will fix it. You might need to say it a few times before Bex catches on, or, you know, like maybe you could say, like, Bex, I appreciate that your cousin's wife had this thing. And maybe, like, in a week, I would love to hear what your cousin did to make it better. But right now, mm-hmm. you know, so you're not just shutting her down.
Yeah.
You're just saying, like, right now I need this to be right mm-hmm. here with me and you too, and not about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
When it's about her, it's a little harder. If she's like, yeah. this happened to me and this is what I did. And, you know, I went gluten-free and all my autoimmune problems went away and you should do this. Yeah. You know, that's different. That's
yeah.
amazing. And you're not necessarily asking for advice as much as you are asking for a sympathetic ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could say that too. Oh, I appreciate your advice so much, Bex, but right now I just need a little sympathy, a sympathetic yeah. ear. Just need to get this off my chest.
I do think Kristen nailed it when she said that Bex might be afraid to hear bad news, might be afraid yeah. to deal, doesn't want to deal with bad news. So she always has to come up with the hopeful spin so that it's mm-hmm. not as bad as you think. Yeah. And a lot of people are like that. It's hard to hear.
Like that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Tainted mother cannot bear for anyone to have any kind of bad news. So she's right. always Pollyanna.
Yeah.
And that word, that name, I barely remember the original story, but you know, the insistence that everything will be okay is unrealistic, and it does get annoying.
Yes.
You know, I've had to say to my mom on many occasions, like, you know, please don't say that.
Yeah.
I'm in this problem and it is hard. Like she might say, like, but you're so lucky because, you know, and I'll be like, and yet I still have this issue.
Right. Right.
Or, you know, yes, the odds are in the favor that, you know, someone will get better. But right now she's mm-hmm. real sick and I just need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Saying, it's going to be fine. I have a good feeling about this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And my mom she's come around. She's gotten a lot better about that Pollyanna impulse. And it's really
a skill to learn.
It yeah. does come from that place of love of like, oh no, I can't stand. It's going to be fine. Kristen's going to be fine. You know?
Yeah. But people don't want to sit in the muck. It's hard. And it's yeah. a skill to learn to sort of either let people vent or be able to talk to them about a very difficult thing without, you know, adding false hope to something or hope something that you think would make them feel better. Sometimes you need to process something. You need to go through the steps of all the muck. Before you can talk about, all right, how do we get out of the muck? Right.
And that's a big part of friendship is being yeah. able to hear the pain.
Yeah.
And the frustration and the hurt. That's what makes a really good friend a great friend.
Yeah.
Is that they can take it and be sympathetic and let you have your space to express yourself. And then check in with you later.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
So, so good luck with that. And again, we'd love to hear from you. I would really love to hear if this works out.
Yeah.
Please keep us informed.
Give me hope for that friendship because you guys yeah. seem so with it. You're so together.
Joss, can we discuss your embarrassing personal problem of... near fatal gym episodes?
Yeah, we can. I'm happy to talk about it. I go to the gym twice a week. I have a personal trainer. His name is John. That is his actual name.
John.
So, like, I'm letting everyone know.
It says a lot about your relationship.
Yes.
Get that name out.
John with an H, not an N, H. And I found out on Friday he is 23.
What?
I know.
What?
I know.
Oh,
I know. Anyway, I go to the gym twice a week. And after every gym, after I get home, I sit on my couch and I'm drenched in sweat and I have to sit very still in order to recover. And that usually takes a good hour to 90 minutes. That's before I can gather my strength to try to take off my damn sports bra. Because, you know,
I called you the other day. Listeners, she was, I thought she was dying. She's like, Kristen, I just got out of the gym. She climbed into her car We talked all the way till she got home and for like a half an hour more. And she's like, I'm just on the couch. I can't move. I'm like, well, go take your shower. She's like, later. I will take my shower later.
So true. I couldn't, because I, you know, to take off a wet sports bra, come on.
That is a workout in itself.
And so I feel like I'm doing a little bit better. It's been a couple months and I feel like my body is acclimatizing to all the new exercise and the stuff. And I will say John is very good. He's an excellent trainer. And we have taken into consideration all of my limitations, including, you know, arthritis and all that sort of stuff. And he's been really great about that. He's not trying to kill me. It's not like I'm going there and I'm pumping iron and I come back and I'm, because those weren't my goals. Listeners, my goals were not to like be all buff, and because to be honest with you, I look at like Chris Hemsworth and I see a six pack and all I see is like, dude, you must be starving. That's all I see when I see that stuff. So that's not what I'm looking to do. We talked about my goals in the very beginning, which were just to gain strength, balance, and flexibility. That's what we're working on. So he's not killing me. I just am out of shape, you guys. I'm just out of shape.
And you're getting into better shape.
I am.
Exhausting workout. We were talking, listeners, and you know, when you talk about like working out, it's such a fraught subject for so many of us who grew up with the messages of Naomi Campbell and Cindy Crawford, or how you're supposed to look, and if you don't, then you're a troll or a hag. And you know, Joss and I were talking, and you said like you could put your socks on. You could stand on one foot and put your sock on. And that's the kind of goal that's so wonderful, because that means, you know, it's easier for you to get your socks on and you have to wear socks every day. You
know? I mean, one of my big goals that we achieved is I could put my pants on without toppling over. Now, listeners, I know you relate to this. That's a meme that's been going around for a few years now, is especially with millennials, is they put one foot in and then they like fall over trying to get the other foot into their pants. And now I can put my pants on, you guys. I can put my underwear on. There you go.
There. Boom. Mic drop.
So, and those are huge victories for me. Those are great. It makes me feel stronger. I am more balanced. It makes me feel like I can do more, which is the whole point of this to begin with.
Workouts, I took kind of a hiatus from my yoga classes, which I really love, but my general workout is measured by my ability to throw my grandson around and around the yard. And you know, he's almost two, and so he loves to be chased, and I roar and catch him and throw him in the air. And yesterday I was over at their house, and you know, I'm doing all these like funky game, laying on the floor and like putting him on my feet and sticking him up in the air and stuff. And my daughter said, like, okay, I think that's enough. Nana's probably tired now, honey. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Nana is not tired. Like, how dare you?
My
goal is to be able to play with my grandson.
But that's a great measure for how strong you're being. And I mean, a lot of this started when I saw a show on Netflix about blue zones around the world. And I think I told you about it. Listeners, if you haven't seen it, it's really interesting. It's this guy who has studied aging all over the world and has identified like a few places around the world where people will get older and are healthier and, you know, make it to their hundreds, you know, to a century, and are still quite healthy. And the things that they do are very natural exercises. Like, part of being in a blue zone is you do play with your grandkid all the time, and that's your exercise.
Yeah.
And then other parts of it, which I'm trying to incorporate, is a little more plant-based and more community. So with the trainer, I am just trying to blue zone up my life a little bit.
Yeah.
That's really it. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to look like Cindy Crawford or Naomi Campbell. I'm 53. I think that's over. I don't think that's going to happen.
I was listening to a show with these two doctors who were talking about health.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, she said, I spent my teens and 20s trying to look a certain way based on what media told me I was supposed to look like. And then I did a DNA test, and I see that I am genetically programmed to look, you know, curvier, heavier, shorter, you know, and that's just like fighting that is fighting nature and what nature wants for you. And she was like, I was so relieved. Like it was permission to just be the best version of myself, which doesn't look like Naomi Campbell, you know?
Yeah, that's the lesson. If you can learn that lesson in your 20s and 30s, oh my gosh. And I think the women these days, millennials and Gen Z, have more of an opportunity to experience that lesson in play. Whereas we, you know, Gen X, it didn't matter whether this was going to be our body type or not. You still fought against it as hard as you could to no avail, right? To no avail. Yeah. So
yeah, I know like my my body has a comfort zone and I can drop below a certain weight and like have my pants be much looser on me than they were, you know, a month or two before. But I always stay in the same zone. And I think that's because I just try to be a normal person.
Yeah.
But like when I was running 20 miles a week or whatever, I was kind of the same size.
Yeah.
You know, my lungs were probably healthier and my knees were a lot more painful.
right.
And, you know, I found out like running is not meant for you, Kristen.
Right. I mean, I think that's one of the things I loved about the show about the Blue Zones is they profiled a community in Japan, of course, and they ate great. And the exercise they got was their homes. Everything within their home is ground level. So the table is on the ground. The cushions are on the ground to sit on. So throughout the day, these people squatted constantly. That was the exercise they did. That's all it was. It wasn't something that they went out and pumped iron and did all this crazy stuff, ran, you know, marathons, doing normal stuff within the course of your day. So
walking to the market, you know,
walking to the market. I hope we normalize that more than looking a certain way.
Yeah,
to be honest, you're trying to achieve a certain look because it just makes it so much easier for the rest of us to get along. We don't have to like look at someone else and think, oh, you know, I need to look like that. No. Yeah.
I think that's a great message. And a great note to end on. Thank you for your TED Talk.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.
Forever.